Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. My buddy Scotty Warman joins us from Bally Sports. Scott, good to talk to you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy 4th of July to one and all listening to a little bit of that. Remember the show Unplugged on MTV, which I thought was one of their great shows, man?
I love
watching that program, man. You'd actually really get to hear some of the great voices and the great musicians back in the day.
Dude, I'm old enough that I remember when MTV came on the air. I was at a buddy of mine's house.
Damn.
He was on the track team with me at SIU. And I'm like, well, what the hell is this? And I was in bands, and I'm just, oh, my God, what a time to be alive, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So we actually had, my family actually was the first ones out, all my friends up in North County, that actually wound up getting cable. And so everybody come over in the summer, we just sit there, watch music videos all day long.
Like on my day, they played music videos on music TV.
That's right. I didn't know you were a North County boy. I should have known it. Whereabouts in North County are you from, Scotty?
Spanish Lake.
Nah, there you go.
Luther North, by the way.
Before I get into Cardinal stuff, I have a couple of baseball things. I'm a former baseball player. I was a casual fan. The last couple of years, I've really re-engaged. I watch every single game, literally every single game on television. You guys do a great job. And I have a couple of points of interest. First of all, when a guy's at bat and he strikes out on like a nasty slider or something and he stares at the pitcher, the hell are you staring at, P. Diddy? You just got embarrassed. I don't understand what's going on there.
A lot of potential answers to that.
Right.
Go to the dugout.
I mean, Kevin could probably answer this, right, Kev?
Yeah, most of them is like, what the hell was that? Like, you just did something.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
Of that nature?
It's like, you threw me that mess? Jerk.
Yes.
Most of it is incredulity.
You know, to kind of tie it into what's the Cardinals, luckily, will not have to face Paul Skeens in this three-game series. But I was just watching him and Max Fried go against each other on Saturday down in Atlanta, and a couple of the Braves guys took a look at this 22-year-old kid, and they're like, are you really serious here? And walked back to the dugout.
And then tonight,
there's going to be a lot more guys doing that against Skeens, too.
Tonight, you don't get Skeens, but Jared Jones throws 100, too. So you're going to get another guy that looks kind of like that.
So my other question is this. I know that there are certain words you can't say to the umps. I know there are certain things you can't say to the umps. I'm fascinated, though, by when, say, Arenado's up to bat, and it's a ball 2 inches outside the box, and they call it a strike. What can you say? Can you not look back at the ump, but you can say what you want? Can you just shake your head no? Like, obviously, you can get away with some stuff, but there's something magic that you can't do.
I don't know, Kevin. And you back me up on this or not, but I think a lot of these younger umpires that we have now in the game, Dave, I think they have a shorter leash than what some of the old timers, if you will let guys get away with. Because sometimes we've seen guys where they, you know, look back and it's all of a sudden, you're out. I mean, look, Aaron Boone got kicked out of the game because the guy in the stands behind the Yankees dugout was yelling at the ump earlier this year.
Yeah, it's probably changed a little bit because you're right. Some of the younger guys run a little hot, so you probably get away with less. But the number one cardinal rule is don't look back.
Okay.
Especially as a catcher. Like, I could talk to the guy behind me as long as I didn't stop and turn and look back.
And what kind of things might you say?
Well, I mean, I wasn't at the level these guys were.
Sure,
so we were
a
little more polite because we were a little more afraid of the umpires at the amateur level. But at their level, they could tell them, like, dude, that's not, you haven't called that all night. Like, that's got to be a strike, or we got to have that one, or, you know you missed that one, you know, you owe us, or whatever. I mean, there's a conversation that goes on, and each guy will have some relationship with the umpire that they've had from the past, right? Good or bad, and it all depends on that. But a lot of times it's a simple, that's not a strike, or you missed that one, or, you know, hey, man, is that going to be there all night?
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
Well,
yeah.
And I think also this over time, because we got to watch one of the greatest behind the plate in Yadier Molina, as we watched him time and time, you could tell Yadi just moving the mash, you could tell he was talking to the umpire. And if he was really upset, he'd kind of hesitate before he'd throw it back to the pitcher. There were certain mannerisms you could just learn from Yadi when he wasn't very happy with what was being called behind him by the umpire.
How long have we been to this level of framing the pitches?
Oh, I mean, I was taught how to do it in high school.
Okay.
I mean, it's always been a thing. It's just never been measured until the last handful of years. We can really do a good job with the video analysis.
Man, they're
measuring
good at it.
They're really good at it. And I'm actually surprised, Scotty, and I'm sure you hear this from, you know, Jimmy and Ricky and Al and that, but I'm surprised that some of the more dramatic movements, the bigger movements, actually fool umpires. We were always taught to be more subtle about it and smaller movements and all that. But man, just move that thing now, and you get the call.
They are, but you know what? There are times where I've even seen with some of our guys, our younger guys, that have had the more flagrant move, like you said, instead of the flick of the wrist, and the pitchers have actually lost some calls because they've moved it so dramatically. In fact, the last time, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, Tom Pagnozzi just started working with us from time to time on our pre- and post-game shows. Kevin, you should come in. You talk about a clinic and learning some stuff.
No
man.
Kidding.
It was awesome. I mean, he was just kind of telling me anything and everything. Because, you know, not only was he a terrific catcher, especially defensively during his major league career, but, you know, he coached at the high level in the SEC on the college level as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You talk about learning some stuff from a guy. He was great to work with. I can't wait to work with him again later on this year.
Yeah, I had the good fortune when I did the Cardinals fantasy camp, 2013, I think it was, 2012, 2013. They did do a little breakout sessions where you can go talk pitching with somebody, you can go talk hitting, and you can go talk catching. And it was Tom Pagnozzi and I forget who else was there. And I was the only one that went to the catching thing. So it was just me and those guys.
That's
talking.
Pretty good.
It was great.
Awesome.
It was the best. It was so good.
What was the best out of those? Because I went, I think it was 2016 I went, or 2017, is when you go into the locker room and Dave LaPointe just rides everybody.
Oh, my God.
Man. That's some funny stuff, man.
Yeah. You're not going to get out of there unscathed, I can promise you.
No.
Well, when we just did our little batting practice thing, Scott Terry was pretty merciless.
Scott, and that was the
G-rated?
I wouldn't go quite that far, but it was the regulated version.
Yeah.
You get in the clubhouse, especially the morning meetings at the actual fantasy camps, the morning meetings.
Oh, yeah.
The rule, there's a reason that the number one rule is no cell phones in the room.
Hmm.
That's exactly right.
You cannot bring your phone into that room, and there's a reason for it.
No, sir.
So looking ahead, Scotty, obviously good to get game one out of the way, and good to beat up on a pretty good pitcher in Mitch Keller yesterday. And I mentioned Jared Jones today. We're looking at hopefully a bounce back for Miles. But if you get this one today, I think there's a legit chance at the sweep because I think with the matchup tomorrow with Pallante and Martin Perez, I think there's an opportunity there. Today's probably the toughest of the three.
Oh, I agree. Well, I thought actually last night was going to be tough because before that game, Keller in his previous nine starts was 7-1 with a 1.84 ERA. So he had been rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, his only loss was actually against the Cardinals here in St. Louis a couple of weeks ago. So somehow the Cardinals have and a good thing that they got Keller's number, but I'm actually looking forward, just like we were talking about looking forward to schemes, I'm looking forward to seeing this young man pitch. I've caught him a little bit here and there, but not a lot, so I'm kind of excited about it. I don't know how excited the Cardinals are to see another young phenom with the Pittsburgh Pirates, but it was good to see, you know, you split the four games over the weekend at Busch against the Reds, but you're not scoring a lot of runs, so it's good to see them lumber up a little bit last night against the Pirates, and hopefully that can continue, especially when you look at what Donovan and Burleson, Mason Wynn. I mean, I think he had but seven of the nine guys in the lineup actually got at least one hit, if not more. And so it was definitely good to see that. And you're hoping that maybe Gorman may potentially be turning a corner here. But I'll tell you what, that grand slam last night,
big
Kevin and Dave, I mean, you just can see the raw power of this kid. And now it's all about Mark Sweeney and I were talking about it last night on our postgame show. This is all about confidence now for a young man that's just 24 years old. If he starts gaining confidence, hopefully he can turn around because he can be a fixture in this lineup if he finds himself.
Yeah, I know. I brought this up a little bit with Ricky earlier, and I'd be curious if, I don't know if Jim Edmonds has talked about it or if you've talked about it with Mark Sweeney. But this isn't, you know, people are, I think, rightfully concerned when Gorman goes into the 3-week slump that he's been going into.
Yeah.
But as I pointed out to Ricky, though, like there are a ton of young players out there who have had established careers, like Gorman, who've played a couple of years in the big leagues, who are just struggling. Like Julio Rodriguez is terrible. I mean, he's 60, 70 OPS points behind Nolan Gorman. And this is a guy that might be, I think he's the first player in history to have back-to-back 25 homer, 25 steal seasons to start a career. And he's struggling. And James Outman was one of the best rookie outfielders in baseball last year. He's in the minor leagues. Spencer Torkelson, number one overall draft pick coming out of Arizona State, hit 31 bombs in the majors last year. He's in the minor leagues because he's struggling. It is so brutal on young hitters. I think we need to keep that in mind.
I think you're making a great point. Look at Matt Holliday's kid. I know he's
only 20
years old, but making the quick rise. But as soon as he got to the bigs, he couldn't find himself from the offensive standpoint in that box. And so he's back down in AAA right now. Again, he has a world of talent. And, you know, one thing Tom Pagnozzi mentioned to me is, you know, he said, now, Scott, you're seeing these kids coming up with 700-800 at bats at most in the minors.
He goes,
the standard used to be 1,500.
Right.
So sometimes maybe guys do need a little bit more time to, you know, get themselves right, you know, to be prepared for the big leagues compared to some of the others. To me, this is the beautiful thing about a guy, and I hate to go back to Paul Skenes, but I really think the guy is an incredible phenom, is the fact that this is a once in a every 10, 12, 15-year type of pitcher. You're not going to throw every guy that you get in the first round, and, oh, well, he's going to throw, you know, 8 minor league games and he's going to go up to the pros and he's going to have so much success. So that's why I really enjoy watching this young man pitch. But again, it's all about timing, and everybody takes a little bit longer than the others. I think that's the same thing we could say about Jordan Walker as well. I think
he's another one of the young guys. Yeah.
Yeah. If you think about being fast tracked, I mean, he had a great spring, but then in the spring before last, then he went down and then he came back up and he had a nice year, and the same thing happened again this year. Now, I know lately from what I've been able to tell, he's been hitting the ball well, but I don't think he's been able to hit the ball with power as of yet, which is obviously what the organization is looking for.
And it's also interesting to me too, Scotty, that you know, I've been hearing a lot of major league people, front office people, managers, even doing interviews and saying the gap between AAA and the majors has never been greater. And that's part of the problem is they're even weighing whether or not sending guys down even helps, because the difference in scouting report and the ability to attack your weaknesses and stuff and command just makes it almost impossible to decide what translates and what doesn't.
Ken Rosenthal did a story last month. I can't remember exactly when, but any baseball fan wants to check out. I thought it was really interesting. This very same subject that was brought up. And one of the things that he did in doing some investigating, if you will, for his story was the fact that the velocity has gone down so dramatically in four-seam fastballs in AAA now compared to just 3 years ago. And the other part of the story that he wrote, and he actually was talking to Matt Carpenter, who was on the rehab assignment, and Matt was telling Ken, is the fact that, you know, instead of having a three-game series, you have a six-game series.
Yeah.
So you're seeing some of these guys out of the bullpen for the second and third time. Well, now, if you're, you know, a heady ball player, you got a mark on this guy. And so the second and third time you're going to see him through, that's where you might get some, you know, inflated offensive numbers from a AAA or a minor league standpoint.
Yeah, and you're going to see the same starter in the same series. You know, that's correct. The thing that, you know, I don't know if you followed that much, Dave, but like they went to six game series to minimize travel, save some money, better for the player's health, all that. And as Scotty's pointing out, you'll see the same reliever two or three times in the same series, in the same sequence.
Yeah.
You'll see the same starter on game one and in game six. And you never see that in the big leagues. It's always a 3 or 4 game series, and you're never going to get that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't really think about it until it was in the story. I'm like, oh, that makes all sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it really does. All right, buddy. Have a great show tonight. Thanks for talking to us. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great holiday, guys. Thank you so much.